The X Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Farewell to Nova Scotia, the sea-bound coast. Let your mountains dark and dreary be. When I'm far away on the briny ocean toss, will you ever heave a sigh or a wish for me? The sun was setting in the west. The birds were singing on every tree. All nature seemed to be at rest, but alas, there was no rest for me. Farewell to Nova Scotia.
And welcome back to the X Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the Talkstar Radio Network. 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. My email address, xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com. And our websites, www.xzoneradio.com and www.xzonetv.com. My guest this hour is Paul Kimball. The website is www.themullyscalder.blogspot.com. themullyscalder.blogspot.com. And Paul is coming to us live from his home in beautiful Nova Scotia. Hey, Paul, welcome back to the X Zone. How have things been since you and I last talked under a very bunch of weird circumstances here at Talkstar?
It was almost paranormal circumstances, Rob. yeah, we were doing a show on the Socorro UFO thing, mm-hmm. and I guess just everything went down, which maybe it was aliens. I don't know.
Actually, we figured out and solved what the mystery was, Paul.
Well, then it wasn't aliens.
No, it was the operator went home.
Oh, well, that's what you do in the paranormal game. You go. I was just joking about the aliens, of course, but you know, it's a good example. Things happen all the time.
Yep.
It might seem strange. You go, oh, I don't know, what was that? And I'm convinced 95% to 99% of the time there's a prosaic explanation. What makes it interesting is there are those rare occasions when you shrug your shoulders and go, I've tried everything and I can't figure this out. So
that's right.
That's the paranormal. And even then, that doesn't mean that it's aliens from Zeta Reticuli or Satan or whatever. It might just be something we don't understand. And sorry, I ramble on, but how's it been going? Busy. Sorry, I'll answer your question. Very busy. editing ghost cases. We've got just finished the 8th episode. Which means we have 5 more in post-production. They've all been shot. 4 of them, the 4th one just aired this weekend. So, you know, you run about 4 or 5 weeks ahead of your air dates. And, so that's been what's been keeping me up 24/7 for about the last month and a half.
And how's the feedback from the viewers?
The feedback's been great. We had one or two folks who, you're never going to be completely popular. Mm-hmm. I did get a few emails. I put a couple episodes on YouTube just for promotional purposes because people outside the Maritimes can't see the show yet. And so I thought, well, I'd like people to see at least one or two episodes to know what we're doing, and hopefully it'll be in your town soon kind of thing. And it's amazing whenever you do something like that, whenever you do a show like this or write a book or anything, you're going to get feedback. And most of it's been very positive. However, I am a bit of a confrontational, snarky presence, as people who know me would know. I don't pull punches, and even when I'm hunting ghosts, I can occasionally poke fun at the ghosts or whatever. And that offended a couple of people who sent me very indignant emails from the things they saw on YouTube. One was in Kentucky, and she just said, it was the 3rd episode where there's a dead bride who killed herself kind of thing, and I was sort of saying you shouldn't have killed yourself and all that. And she just said, you should have more respect for the spirits of the dead and all that sort of stuff. And I felt like sending an email back saying, well, there's a billion Catholics on the planet, and their leader says that if you kill yourself, you know, you're doomed to eternal damnation.
Exactly.
Or something. So I think I'm in pretty good company, at least, you know, with a billion other humans, in saying maybe you shouldn't have killed yourself. But I didn't, because I found that those kind of email correspondences will never do any good. So. But yeah, no, the reaction's been overwhelmingly positive. The network really likes it. Eastlink likes it. We're all happy with it. It's a different kind of ghost hunting, if you will, or investigating show. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those shows where you'll see Holly and I jumping over fences and pretending that every, you know, squirrel that rattles in the attic is a ghost. The one thing that I think this show has above all others is credibility. And that's, I've worked hard in 10 years to build that up as a skeptic. If I actually say that I find something anomalous or weird, you can believe that I actually found it anomalous and weird.
Well, here's something very weird. We have to take a two-minute commercial break. Paul Kimball's our special guest. TheMullyScalder.blogspot.com. That's TheMullyScalder.blogspot.com. Paul Kimball and I will return on the other side of this two-minute commercial break as the X-Zone continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, right here on Talkstar. Welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell. We're coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on Talkstar. Just before we get back to my special guest this hour, Paul Kimball, the website is mullyscalder.blogspot.com. mullyscalder.blogspot.com. I heard something rather funny, and I have to share it with you, the X-Zone Nation. Apparently, there's something on the internet that says, we are so glad that Balloon Boy was not really in that Mylar UFO, because that would have meant that Michael Jackson was calling out for takeout. I know that's pretty bad, but made me laugh, so I hope you're laughing as well. 1-877-528-8255. Email xzone@talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio@hotmail.com. And our websites, xzoneradio.com and xzonetv.com. We're talking about ghosts this hour. My special guest is Paul Kimball. And Paul, during your shooting of your TV series, how many times, and you're a professional skeptic, how many times have you thought, oh Lord, I may have been wrong about this in the past?
Almost every episode, at least that thought has crossed my mind. There might have been one or two episodes. There was one we shot which won't go to air. We debunked it. It's like there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. So we have a wrap-up show, episode 13. We'll reference it in that and say, look, not every place you go that says it's haunted is haunted. You can just cross some of them off the top with some basic historical research kind of thing. Part of it, Rob, is does it happen to you? So do you experience something? And when you experience something, that can change the way you look at things. But it's also, when you talk to so many people who are credible, I know professional debunkers have problems with witnesses for some reason, mm-hmm. And some witnesses are problematic. But when you can weed out the problematic ones and you look, these are credible, sane, rational people who are telling you they saw this or experienced this. They have no motivation to lie, and I'm hearing the same stories repeatedly. Then you sort of have to sit up and say, well, look, I don't know if that means that they're ghosts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it does mean to me that there's something that's worth looking into, there's something that's worth taking seriously, and that maybe there's something out there beyond the narrow confines of what modern science, and by modern science I mean institutionalized science. I don't mean real scientific thinkers like Michio Kaku, people who are doing what I consider to be real science. They're expanding the boundaries of human knowledge. That's what science should do. I'm talking about institutionalized science, which basically says, here's the box, we're in the box, there's nothing outside the box. And I much prefer guys like Kaku, and I think that's what good paranormal researchers do too. They don't just step outside the box. They take all the various boxes, put everything, spill everything out on the floor, and then spend their time trying to rearrange it and see what fits with these other things. And that's what ghost investigating has been like. I have to say, I found it much more interesting than the UFO stuff that I spent 5 or 6 years sort of involved with, because the nice thing about ghost investigating is you can go to the allegedly haunted house yourself and see if you can have an experience, set up your cameras, your audio recorders, and all that sort of stuff. Whereas with UFO investigating, you are dealing primarily with witnesses. There are some cases that have physical traces that you can investigate after the fact, but it's always an after-the-fact investigation. The UFO, you can't summon, unless you're Stephen Greer or a few others who claim they can, you can't summon the UFO to come back. You can't do that with the ghost either, but you can go to the place that has had repeated incidents. You know, this house, day after day, different people report stuff. Well, great, I'll go there and see if it happens to me. And in some cases, weird things happen to us. And we picked up not just the experiential stuff either, Rob, but also because I recognize that the mind can play tricks on you and all that sort of stuff. But what's really cool is when you can have an experience that is then corroborated by some form of tangible physical data or evidence. And we have some very interesting visual evidence that our digital video cameras picked up, our infrared cameras, and we have some very interesting audio evidence that our audio recorders picked up too, the sort of EVP stuff that the people are always talking about. And in some cases, those things were happening at the same time as Holly and I were experiencing something ourselves. And only later did we sort of look at the video evidence and go, wow, that was going on while you were doing this kind of thing. And that's interesting. I mean, I'm still a skeptic, but I was always open-minded, but I'm much more open-minded than I was before. And I think I'd actually change it from skeptic to truth seeker. That would be the new thing that I would call, because I don't know what the truth is anymore.
www.mullyskulder.blogspot.com is Paul Kimball's website. And Paul, I would also like to just to send to you my condolences as a very close friend of Mac Tunney's, who passed away recently. And I was wondering if you could give us a little bit of a history of Mac.
Sure. Thank you, Rob. Mac was one of the best guys in the paranormal field. He was only 34 years old. He's a very dear friend of mine in Kansas City. Passed away suddenly of natural causes. It does happen to people in the 30s and 40s, unfortunately, about a week and a half ago, I guess. And Mac was best known. He had a blog called The Post-Human Blues, where he would often talk about paranormal things from UFOs to ghosts to Bigfoot to anything. But he had a much... The great thing about Mac was he wasn't just one of these guys who spent their whole life obsessed with the paranormal. He had a much broader interest. He would link things in the paranormal to our own world. He had an interest in science fiction. I mean, he sort of took a very holistic approach to it, and he was a great thinker. He was always asking questions. He was a very bright young man, and he was one of the few people in the UFO/paranormal field that nobody had a bad thing to say about who came across him. There are, as I've said on a couple of radio shows, we've done a few Mac Tunney's retrospectives. If I was to unfortunately pass away, like right now, you'd probably have people sending you emails saying, well, nobody's going to miss him. Most of us make enemies, or because we take positions, we manage to somehow tick people off.
Yeah, just like that lady in Kentucky.
Yes, exactly. But Mac never did.
No.
He was just such a nice, gentle soul that he could disagree with you. And vehemently, he and I would have disagreements, but it was always, the great thing is you could sit down with Mac and have a rational, reasonable conversation, disagree at the end of it, as I can with my friends Nick Redfern and Greg Bishop. The four of us were sort of the paranormal three musketeers, and Mac was D'Artagnan. And then go out and have a beer afterwards, and that's the way it should be. You shouldn't get, your whole life shouldn't be wrapped up in these paranormal things or whatever, and Mac, his wasn't. He was a free thinker. He was a very intelligent young man. He was a wonderful science fiction writer, too. He had a great career ahead of him writing science fiction. You can go to his blog, or sorry, his website, MacTonies.com, and some of his stories are up there, including one that he and I wrote a play based on, which is going to be a feature film next year. And he has a book coming out, too, about the crypto-terrestrials, which was one of his theories about sort of a thought experiment about what UFOs could be, the idea of this indigenous species on our own planet, far more advanced than us, being responsible for UFOs. So even though Mac has passed on, his work continues to live on and will continue to live on in the years to come. And he remains, in the thoughts of all of us who knew him.
www.mullyscalder.blogspot.com is Paul Kimball's website. And Paul, I'm just, you know, as you basically are a seek truth or a seeker of truth, how do you explain so many people who come up with so many claims within the paranormal that are just totally off the wall? And it seems that even off the wall claims and off the wall and very shady TV shows are pulling in big numbers.
Well, I'd say that, you know, there were tens of millions of Germans who bought into the worst possible ideology you could ever think of in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a country that gave us great art and great music and great literature, and somehow they bought into the Nazis. I mean, not everybody on the planet is capable of critical thinking. Not everybody on the planet is as smart as perhaps they should be. And some people are naive and gullible. That explains some of it. Some people are also just crooks. You know, they're liars, they're frauds, they're crooks. Mm-hmm. And they do it for money, and there is money to be made in the paranormal field, although perhaps less than some people think. But some people do it for the attention, too. They're just attention-starved, so they'll throw out this crazy claim, and because then people, you know, they'll get this little cult following. It happens. And I think you can explain away all of that stuff. The important thing is to just sort of think critically, keep your eye open for this, and if it sounds too good to be true, if somebody's giving you the answer,
mm-hmm.
in a field where there are no answers, I would say, well, okay, that person is a liar, fraud, crook, or they're delusional. Those are sort of the options. And the people that you should seek out are people like my friend Mac or Greg or Nick, or I would suggest even I, who say, look, we're about asking questions. And there's a line I used at the end of one of the episodes in Ghost Cases where I said, It's not the answers that matter. It's that we retain the ability to ask the questions. If you stop asking the questions, then you stop learning. You stop acquiring knowledge. And maybe you do get the answers someday. That might happen. But you should be willing to, and you should be aware that you might go through your entire life, as so many people do, and at the end of it, you still have a question, which is, in the case of your life, what comes after? You know, it's like when Captain Kirk died in Star Trek, the sixth movie or whatever, and his last line was, oh my, and you just see this awareness. None of us have any idea where Captain Kirk was going. He's the only person who knows. And I think that's important. We always have to remember, I'm rambling now, but we always have to remember questions. That's what we have to do. And if you think you've got the answer, unless you can prove that, unless you could go into a court of law or science and prove it, then you're still in the asking questions realm.
Paul, stand by. You and I have to take our commercial break with the news at the bottom of the hour. Paul Kimball's our special guest. www.mullyscalder.blogspot.com. That's Mully Scalder. Wait a second. Hold on here. I'll get it right yet. It's one of those days, you know. Mullyscalder.blogspot.com. My name is Rob McConnell. This is The X-Zone, and we're coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Paul Kimball and I return after this news break. Don't go away. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters! I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
The X-Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splenda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the X-Zone.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro4U, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Ships of the land, ships of the morn, some who wish they'd never been born, they are the ghosts of Cape Horn. Fa-la-ra-la, riddle-dee-rum, with a rim-dim-diddy-a-rum, sailing away at the break of dawn, they are the ghosts of Cape Horn. See them all in every pair, demons dance everywhere, southern gales, tattered sails and none to tell the tale. Come on, all of you rusty gold sea doves, follow the bright southern cross, you were rounding.
And welcome back to the X-Zone. My name is Rob McConnell, coming to you live from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on Talkstar. 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. Email xzone at talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio at hotmail.com. And our websites, www.xzoneradio.com and xzonetv.com. Paul Kimball is my special guest. His website is www.mullysculder.blogspot.com. That's www.mullysculder.blogspot.com. Paul, is it explainable why some people see ghosts while others don't in the same very room?
It would be odd if you had some people seeing ghosts, Rob, in the same room, as if you and I were in the same room at the same time and I saw one and you didn't. But I assume what you're talking about is if you walked in today, saw a ghost, and then I walk in tomorrow and I don't see a ghost, why does that happen? Any one of a number of explanations, maybe the ghost, if ghosts exist, mm-hmm. I preface everything by saying if ghosts actually exist and are the spirits of the dead, as many people seem to think they are, it might be a personal thing. There might be something about you that the ghost would find resonates with them, but not something about me. I've talked to a number of people. If you believe in things like psychic phenomena and people being perhaps more open to things, I mean, we only use 10% of our brains, so who knows what the other 90% has the potential to do. Between even Holly and I, frankly, Holly's more open to these things than I am. So at least that seems to be what we've kind of seen. So it seems like Holly's might have had more experiences than I do, and that might have something to do with the fact that maybe she's just more open to it. And if you open, it'd be like you're the front door of your house. If you leave your front door open and I lock mine, mm-hmm. it's more likely that people are going to come into your house than they are to mine. So it might be a question of openness. It might be a question of if these things exist, what their agenda is or what they're looking to achieve by making some form of contact. I don't know. Those would be the sort of more logical explanations I could think of, working again on the assumption that they actually exist.
Has there been a time when these unseen forces or these ghosts that have been seen by some and not others within your company while you're out doing a shoot have turned demonic or evil?
Evil. I don't know. Well, you know what? there is an episode coming up that we just finished where I get my skeptical comeuppance, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And part of the episode, part of the dialogue in the episode is, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in curses and all those things. That's what I say in the episode. And then at the end of the episode, you sort of see me saying, on the other hand, sometimes I go too far. Like if somebody tells me, for instance, that vase over there, if you move that vase, somebody could be injured. Well, I'd go over and I'd move the vase.
Well, of course,
because,
yeah.
You know, I'd just go, well, okay, yeah, I don't think moving a vase is going to injure anyone. Or we were in Churchill Mansion here in Nova Scotia, and there's a picture of an alleged a lady who later became a ghost, apparently. And if you move the picture, weird and strange things will happen. Well, you know, the first thing I do is I go and move the picture.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do, which is why the lady in Kentucky probably doesn't like me. Because she sees it as disrespectful.
It's either that or she ran out of moonshine while sitting in the back of her pickup truck.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Perhaps I am banned from the state of Kentucky. I don't know. But, that's what I do. And normally we have a good laugh, and actually we always have a good laugh. Mm-hmm. There was one episode where, and, you know, I don't want to ruin the punchline for the episode because it hasn't aired yet, but one of those situations came up where, okay, if you do this, if you do X, then Y is going to happen. And Y was bad. Believe me, Y was about as bad as you can get. And so I did X. I said, oh, yeah, well, Y's not going to happen. Well, as it turns out,
uh-oh,
Y happened, and happened the next day. And it's one of those episodes where you watch for 20 minutes or 22 minutes, 24-minute episode, and you go, well, okay, you know what? Not much is happening. They're investigating. They get the gear. We get to know the people. It's kind of funny. And maybe that wasn't the best episode. You know, it's like, oh, there's no ghost. And then at the end, boom, I get hoisted on my own petard. And it was one of those things where maybe what happened was a complete coincidence. I know this seems very cryptic for folks, but believe me, the network would be very angry if I revealed what it was about. But it actually made me sort of sit back and go, okay, if any of this is real, maybe sometimes you can go too far. Maybe you shouldn't touch the picture or move the vase, mm-hmm, in some cases. And I don't think that, I'm not sure that's demonic, getting back to your original question, but it is one of those, or even evil, but it is one of those things where maybe if any of this is real, let's assume for the moment that this is real, then there may be consequences to your actions.
Cause and effect.
And exactly. Mm-hmm. And if it's not real, then it's just a coincidence, isn't it? It's all just a coincidence, and that's fine. But if there's even the possibility that it's real, that maybe there is life after death, that there are ghosts, that there are demons, that mm-hmm, there are some other sort of entities out there, whatever you want to call them, maybe they're all friendly, maybe they're all unfriendly, but there's a possibility that there's a mix of both. And part of me now sort of takes the better safe than sorry sort of point of view.
So you don't go into places that say don't move the picture and move it anymore?
I think twice before moving it, or even three times. And it's possible I might not even move it. I mean, Holly and I, mm-hmm, sort of used to joke about this. We would say we'd go to Peru when this was all over, A, to get a trip to Peru, and B, we'd go up into the Amazon, you know, in the rainforest and do one of the shamanic rituals and get cleansed, you know, spiritual cleansing kind of thing. I mean, you could have a priest do it here, but frankly, a trip to Peru is more interesting. And that was kind of a joke. And now when we finish the 13 episodes, we look back on it and we go, okay, do you realize in that house such and such happened and that was creepy? And then you go down the list of things that, and you go, well, okay, either all of that's a weird series of coincidences, or maybe we really should go to Peru. And, you know, if there's anything that's attached itself, mm-hmm, to us, let's get rid of it, kind of thing. So we're looking at travel agents. And I mean, I'm a skeptic, but I have to say there were enough things, weird things that happened that I find it hard to chalk it all off as a coincidence.
And, Paul, is there a connection between ghosts, Sasquatch, poltergeist, UFOs? Are all paranormal occurrences related?
My answer would be no, but it's possible. I would say I don't rule out Sasquatch. Mm-hmm. We keep discovering new animals all the time,
sure,
so it's possible. But Sasquatch is one of those things where I would say, well, if it does exist, it probably is something we just haven't discovered. But I know my friend Nick Redfern has talked about this, the idea that these things all might be interrelated somehow, that if there are other dimensions or parallel universes out there, and maybe there are gateways between the two, that if you see Sasquatch or some large hairy creature, maybe what's happening is you're getting a glimpse into another universe, or they're coming here from there. I mean, there's all sorts of things like that out there. So I don't rule it out. And I know that there are UFO investigators, a lot of the extraterrestrial hypothesis, the ones who believe that they're aliens from Zeta Reticuli, who get very upset when you start linking Bigfoot with UFOs to maybe ghosts, to demons, to all of this sort of stuff. And it comes back to the question thing you and I were talking about before the break, where I say, look, it's all about questions, not answers. So I would keep the door open to the possibility that there might be a relationship between, say, UFOs and ghosts. And maybe UFOs aren't from Zeta Reticuli. Maybe there's some sort of paranormal. Of course, they're paranormal. Maybe they're from some sort of other dimension or reality, which science speculates about. But maybe ghosts are, too. So maybe we're just seeing different manifestations of the same kind of thing, tailored to our own perceptions.
Overlapping ripples in the time-space continuum.
Sure. Or if you deal with, I know a lot of people call it the trickster, for lack of a better thing, and I'm not a big fan of the term the trickster, but it stands in good stead as kind of a symbol of some other entity that maybe is playing with us or using us as test subjects, or maybe we're somebody's lab rats. Whether they're extra-dimensional or from another universe or God. Maybe it's God still, you know, playing around with us. Whatever it is, maybe because we all have different ways of looking at things, I take a more scientific, more modern approach. So maybe I would be more inclined to see something that you would call a UFO, an alien spacecraft. That's how it manifests itself to me. But then you run into somebody who's a dyed-in-the-wool evangelical religious type, and that experience gets tailored to them in a more religious connotation. And so maybe what's happening to all of us, if we have these experiences, is the same thing, just in different clothing, if you understand what I'm saying. So we're all dealing with the same thing, but it just wears different clothes each time it deals with us in different ways.
Paul, let me ask you this. There's a movie coming out November 13th, this coming Friday, 2012. What's your opinion of 2012? Is there a connection between the end of the Mayan calendar and the apocalypse?
I will state for the record, Rob, that on December 22nd, 2012, I will be having a very long drink on a very stable world, and I will be having a very good chuckle at anybody who thinks that the world is going to end on December 21st, 2012. I'm open-minded, and I believe that there may be something to a lot of this paranormal stuff or whatever. One of the things I'm not open-minded about, I firmly close it, and if it offends anyone in Kentucky, too bad. I shouldn't pick on Kentucky, it's just one lady, it's a lovely state. But I've been there. It's a lovely state. But 2012, I mean, that's like the YK kind of thing, you know, the end of the world. And every generation in human history has had its end of the world myth or moment. And the 2012 thing is going to be no different. I mean, the world might actually end someday, but I'm pretty sure that when it does, we're not going to see it coming.
1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. Paul Kimball's my very special guest. Paul's website is mullysculder.blogspot.com, mullysculder.blogspot.com. Paul, you're in the film industry. You're a Canadian broadcaster. Why do people run to movies about doom and gloom?
Well, I think it's part of the times that we live in. If you look at when things are going good, and the 80s, by and large, were, you know, a reasonably good time. Mm-hmm. Things seemed to be going well. In hindsight, we might see it differently, but, you know, it was sunny in America again in the 80s. Well, if you look at the movies in the 80s, you have movies like the John Hughes movies and all that sort of stuff. The music was a little poppier. The movies were a little lighter. And then you kind of get into the 90s and certainly into this decade. You've got 9/11. Now you've got the economic crash. And I think, you know, it's a depressed time. And I don't mean a depression. I mean, people are generally just depressed. They're worried. They're concerned about where we're going. This kind of, it's cyclical. It happens throughout human history. And eventually, we'll be sunny in America and Canada again. That's the way it works. But until that day comes, I think the entertainment industry tailors its stories, novels, movies, even music. You can even hear it in music, the 90s with grunge, you know, as opposed to the 80s with hair bands. They tailor it to the zeitgeist, to the mood of the people at the time. And I think our mood right now is pretty down. So we're getting entertainment that reflects that. It's questioning. We seem unsure of ourselves. And that's the kind of films that we're getting. And people flock to that sort of stuff. They also flock to more of the spiritual kind of stuff. And I use spiritual in loose quotation marks, like Paranormal Activity. Why is a movie that was made for $15,000, and I've seen it.
I was just going to ask you that.
It's a lousy movie. I mean, it's just lousy. It's poorly made, and the story is not compelling. And frankly, I wasn't scared once. It's the Blair Witch Project without any sort of new, it's not new. So at least the Blair Witch Project was kind of the first time for it. But people are flocking to it because I think people just want to be scared. And you know, the only thing that I can take out of Paranormal Activity is it does at the end maybe make you think. Maybe you walk out of it and you go, okay, well, I know that wasn't real. but could it be real?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're in a questioning mood right now as a society. And so I think most of the entertainment we're getting, it's downbeat, and it rather than providing answers, which films in the 80s did, at the end, Molly Ringwald always, you know, gets her guy kind of thing. Now it's not like that. I just saw a movie called The Box, which is based on a classic science fiction short story. That's the kind of movie, I loved it. That's the kind of movie that they should be making these days. Because at the end, people walk out and they go, I have no idea what happened. I don't know. Was that guy God? Was he an alien? Was he, how did this...
Paul, stand by. We've got to take our commercial break. We'll be right back. Paul Kimball's my special guest, X-Zone Nation. MullySculder.blogspot.com. That's MullySculder.blogspot.com. This is the X-Zone. We're coming to you live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, right here on Talkstar.
Come on, all of you rusty gold cedars.
Blue Moon of Kentucky by the Kentucky Headhunters. For that lady in Kentucky who sent Paul that email, ma'am, not everybody who does paranormal radio thinks that the people in Kentucky should actually be judged by the amount of teeth in their head and how much booze they drink. But I, on the other hand, do. So there you go. Now, my email address is xzone@talkstarradio.com. Paul, always great talking to you. A number of films are coming out. The Men Who Stare at Goats, I think, is a hoot. In fact, have you seen the commercial or the trailer for it where, you know, like in Paranormal Activity, they have all the people in night shot watching the screen? Well, in this one, they have they run it the same way as they did in Paranormal Activity, except the audience is all goats. It is a riot.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, no.
I'm actually looking forward to that because I'm a big George Clooney fan, and I think Ewan McGregor walks on water. So they're both in it, and it's obviously a subject matter that I'm predisposed to find interesting, too. It's historical. It relates to, you know, military experiments into Psy and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, Clooney and McGregor, so I'm working on the assumption the movie's probably going to be pretty good.
Plus,
Paranormal Activity.
They're telling you right up front, it's a comedy.
Yeah, a black comedy.
Yeah.
But there's from the reviews I've heard, there's an undercurrent of seriousness to it as well. It's not like a Jim Carrey film or something. Yes, it's a black comedy, but there's also a sort of serious element to it as well that, again, makes you think. And the best comedies, that's what they do. You know, it's funny, but while you're laughing, they're also encouraging you to sort of step back and think about something, too.
What's coming up for Paul Kimball and Holly in the next couple of weeks?
Peru. No, that's a couple of months, maybe. Ghost cases, more ghost cases. You can go, and you've been very kind, mollysculder.blogspot.com.
Hey, it took me an hour, but I got it right.
Yeah. We have two of our episodes, two of the really good ones, too, McCall's Farm in Algonquin, up on the blog now, so you can watch them no matter, you could be in Kentucky, that's where she saw them, or you could be in Peru or Australia, you can watch them on the internet, those two. And I'd be interested to hear what people think, particularly of the Algonquin episode, because I'm not a big believer in orbs. Mm-hmm. In fact, I believed before this episode that orbs could always be explained prosaically, you know, insects, dust, camera glitches, and that sort of stuff. But in the Algonquin episode, which you can see on the website, there is you have to call it an orb, a light anomaly, that behaves in a way, in a set of circumstances, it flies out. Holly's in a room alone, there's no one else there, and then she turns over her shoulder to look in the exact same direction that the orb went, and the orb was going directly towards the window where this bride that I had talked about allegedly jumped to commit suicide. All of these things together, it's really compelling footage, And I say that as a skeptic of orbs in particular. I was just like, you know, my co-producer Dale Stevens told me, oh, well, we caught this great footage. You have to come look at it. And I was like, oh, yeah, orbs. And I showed up and I looked at it and I went, okay, that's weird.
Hey, Paul, we've got to say so long for tonight, but sure. You're going to be back with us in 2 weeks. Say hi to Holly for me.
Will do.
Congratulations on a great show, Paul, and we always look forward to having you here on the X-Zone. X-Zonation, right. Paul Kimball. The website is mullysculder.blogspot.com. 1-877-528-8255 is toll-free. Email xzone at talkstarradio.com. On MSN Messenger, talkstarradio at hotmail.com. And our websites, www.xzoneradio.com and xzonetv.com. Whether you're a skeptic or a believer, join me here nightly in the X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard. Don't go away. We'll be back after this news break.